Thanks to Raycon wireless earbuds for supporting The Boop Show. Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/BOOP. That's buyraycon.com/boop. This is The Boop Show. It's episode 252 for Monday, July 13th, 2020. Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Boop Show. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Dunaway. What do you got in your hand there? What is that?
Oh, hi, Scott.
Hi. What is that? Show me that closer. What is this?
We got show and tell today, so show me tell.
Okay, let's see what you got. Oh, Return of the Jedi. It looks like an album. Is that what that is? A laserdisc.
It does look like an album, doesn't it? But you would be wrong unless your albums are...
super thick and outdated. Oh yeah, laserdisc. Look at that thing. Gosh, dang it, dude.
Look at that.
Whoa, that's cool. Very nice. Are you happy to have that? Because what do you play it on now? Nothing? What do you do? Just look at it?
My laser disc player. I play it on my laser disc player.
That's awesome. All right. Very well done. See, some kids out in the audience are going to see that and go, where'd you get such a big CD?
Ooh.
And CDs are already aging for them.
This is a normal size CD. I've been shrunken.
Oh, okay. Well, let me show you this then. We're doing show and tell.
Show enough tell, Scott.
A listener sent me this cool thing. Look at this thing. Let me zoom in here. Here we go.
Oh, oops. That is sweet.
Yeah, look at this.
Is that your real dental
No, those are impression? Somebody used dentures, or he used dentures, but he sculpted this. Like he did.
Those dentures are scary as
made
crap.
This like awesome, disgusting, freaking Cthulhu-looking creature. Isn't it great?
That is amazing. Yeah, he sent that to you. When do I get one?
He made it out of Sculpty, and I forgot his name. It's here somewhere. I was supposed to show it on TMS, and I forgot. But
aw. Hope he watches The Boop Show as well.
Yeah, there's your show and tell for the day. Hope you guys enjoyed it.
Show enough tell here on The Boop Show.
Let's dive into this. Okay, video game time. Now, we focus quite a bit here on indies, usually newer indies, games that are just come out or are relatively new. Not always brand new, you know, sometimes it depends. But Brian, sometimes you just got to play a game that's older and got ignored by the mainstream press. And by that, I mean...
yeah.
A 2016 title called Titanfall 2 that I beat. I played on stream and I beat it. And I've talked about it on the show before that I've been playing it, but now I'm here to tell you my final thoughts on my experience playing and beating the campaign in Titanfall 2, the 2016, October 2016. Still made money. It was a hit, but it got overrun by the Call of Duties and the freaking other shooters of the time. I guess there was Call of Duty that year, and then what was the big Battlefield game? Battlefield 1, was it? The World War 1 one?
I think you're right.
Yeah, it was just bad competition. It got kind of eclipsed a little bit, and it's unfortunate because I'm here to tell you once and for all, and I've said this on some other shows and capacities, I'm going to say it again, this is now my favorite first-person shooter campaign I've ever played. Ever.
What?
Ever?
Ever.
Ever.
I've got to, you know, I picked this up last year myself at a sweetheart of a deal for the PS4 Pro, and I also enjoyed it.
Oh, well, that's good. I paid $10 for it on Steam, although it's back to $30 now. This was part of the summer sale.
That's like a chump. I paid like $5 for it for the PS4.
That's pretty good. That's pretty damn awesome good. I loved it. I think about BT all the time. He's my robot guy. It's not short for Bluetooth. We figured it out on the morning stream, but it's a hell of a thing. And I was entertained by it would be a vast understatement. I think that game constantly surprised me in both story and mechanics. It always felt really good, which is important for a game like this. It felt just very well crafted. If they don't make a third one, I'll be pissed.
Look at this guy doing the wall walking.
Oh yeah, the wall running's the best. You don't walk on the walls.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wall sprinting.
You run on those effing walls. I don't know why he's using just a pistol here. So whoever played this is weird. But the guns all feel really satisfying. It's set in the same universe as Apex Legends, but I think this plays and feels superior to that in terms of movement. I kind of wish Apex Legends went all out on wall running and sliding, and they have some sliding, but it doesn't quite feel as mobile as this game.
Yeah, Apex Legends, there's a lot of walking long distances because it is, you know, a battle royale essentially, right?
I mean, sure, it's a wider space, kind of, and at least early on it is, and it is what it is. But what I love about this game is just the fluidity of movement combined with other factors. But in the single player, obviously, the story is just, it's just awesome. It's so good.
You were playing this on your PC.
PC,
did you have this thing? Did you have this thing ratcheted up to maximum settings?
Oh yeah, played it on every possible setting and it all, and looks amazing as it should. You know, 3.5 years later, but
right.
It's also, I mean, it's a really pretty game. Uses a version of the Source engine, which they use also for Apex Legends, and it looks great, feels great, sounds great. Storytelling's amazing. It took the Half-Life's out of my top spot. That's how much I liked it.
Oh, really?
Yep. I liked it
that
much.
Awesome. I'll tell you this. I like it because I do, and I think it's probably something we both like. I do like the speed of movement. You kind of talked about it a little bit, but it there's something not quite, you know, natural about the movement, but it feels good, right?
Yeah, it feels great. And that's all I care about in a game like this. Yeah. Like, it can have lots of other flaws, but if it feels good to run around and to shoot things, like, what else do you want from your shooters, right?
Right.
Also, if you're going to tell me a story, I want it to be compelling and not be taken out of it by accident or by, you know, poor mechanics or bad pacing. It doesn't have any of that. And it's funny, I talk about liking this more than Half-Life. I would actually compare it to Half-Life in terms of the kind of feel it gave me. There's a lot of stuff in it that's very, I don't know, for me, very reminiscent of Half-Life. But there's also kind of this Iron Giant aspect to it with your personal Titan. BT is this, you know, this trusted creature in the game. I mean, he's just a robot, but he's more than that. I don't know. It really got
just
me.
A robot.
They got me all the ways it needed to get me, and I really loved it. So, again, it's an older game now, so we're not talking about something fresh off the press here, but if you got it on sale during that Steam sale or even a better deal like Brian talked about on PlayStation or Xbox, wherever you got it, and if you haven't played it or whatever, I highly recommend it now. And here's the nice thing. The Steam version suddenly has a ton of people playing multiplayer because this is all the rage over there. It's also enjoying a overwhelmingly positive review since it landed there, since EA brought it back over there. And I don't know. There's something nice about a Source 2 engine belonging on Steam and getting played there. And now there's a multiplayer base all playing together. And I had no problem getting into some multiplayer matches. I got my ass handed to me most of the time. But that's usual, par for the course for me with this kind of game. But anyway... Can't say enough about it. Titanfall 2, you came to me late, but
yeah, you can keep talking about it.
He's my 2020-2016 game of the year. There. How's that?
What?
If this was 2016, it would have been my game of the year if I had played it then, like I should have. But as it stands, we'll go back in time and say you're still so good. You're my favorite 2016 game of 2020. How's that sound?
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. So again, get it wherever you get it, but it's just freaking great. And about 5 hours, by the way, is how long that campaign takes. So it's not too long, but it doesn't overstay its welcome either. Felt about right to me. And again, tons of multiplayer content. And they seem to be, it seems to be doing really well. It's almost like it's a new game over there, weirdly.
Has it given you any urge to go back and play Apex Legends?
A little bit, actually, weirdly. But I've heard a couple of things from people who also got all excited about replaying or playing for the first time Titanfall 2 when it hit Steam. So they did. And then after messing around in there a bunch, you go back to Apex, and Apex is a lot less mobile, like we talked about earlier,
right.
And they feel it. It's like, ooh, this isn't quite the fluid thing I want. I think I may go play multiplayer Titanfall, plus there's no giant robots here, and plus I'm kind of sick of Battle Royale, so I don't know. I don't know if I need to. Like, some of the games or guns are the same, or at least reminiscent of the guns. In Apex, so Apex, you'll run across something and go, oh, the whatever gun, that's the same gun I used to kill stuff in Titanfall 2. And so there's some.
You know what? You really got to talk good about the whatever gun. I mean,
well, by
when I unlocked that the first time, I was like,
oh, yeah, it's a hell of a thing. No experience like the whatever gun. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, with the whatever gun.
Anyway,
Titanfall 2.
Never too late. to pick up Titanfall 2. Check it out.
On sale. JK Grammer in the chat room says Titanfall 2 Ultimate Edition is still on sale on the PS4 for only $5.99.
Are you kidding me?
To $7.16.
That's a crazy price.
Yeah. That's,
you are stealing it for that. I stole it for $10. I guarantee you're stealing it for $5. Like, you need to send a self-addressed stamped envelope with money in it to Respawn Entertainment to thank them for the ripoff.
You made a mistake. Yeah. Here's what you should have been charging.
That's just how good that is. So
you're a good man gamer. That's who you are.
I am a good man gamer. That's right. All right, Brian, tell me about this. Okay, I'm excited about this next one because everyone out there is saying, Scott, play West of Dead, play West of Dead, play West of Dead. Brian, should I play West of Dead? Which I guess is on Game Pass, so I have no excuse. I should just play it.
Right. Hey, Scott, you should play West of Dead. It's on the Ultimate. It's on the Xbox version of the Xbox Game Pass as well as the PC.
Yeah.
So I know you do that one. So is West of Dead. How do you feel about going to purgatory with Ron Perlman, Hellboy Perlman? How's that sound?
Pretty good. I like that guy, so I could spend some time with Ron Perlman. Sure. Why not?
I could totally spend some time, and I did. I did just that. I loaded up off Xbox Game Pass, and I hopped in, and it looks like I don't want to call out the obvious, but my character here kind of looks like Ghost Rider. The cowboy edition. You know what I'm talking about.
Ghost Rider, like Burning Skull Ghost Rider, that guy?
Burning Skull Ghost Rider. So you're dead. You're dead. And you were living in the Old West, and we don't know exactly how you died, but all we know is we're in purgatory, and we're trying to get past it.
It's just you playing. I can always tell because we're at a pause menu for a really long time.
We really are. It's because whenever I start recording, I'm usually introducing everything during the chat stream. Yeah. And so... So you might want to skip forward. I actually had put the timestamp in it earlier. Then I realized I goofed up, and so I didn't do it. So I apologize for that last second faux pas on my part.
They'll make it through. Don't worry.
They'll make it through. But yes, once you do get started, you're playing a character, and it's being narrated by Ron Perlman, and you're heading into purgatory, which happens to open up in a saloon where there's a barkeep, and the barkeep kind of gives you a little bit of attitude and says, "Let's move on, my friend." And you get in there and you pick up your couple of weapons. Right away, you pick up two weapons and they're randomly generated. So this is kind of like almost a dungeon crawler light, kind of somewhat.
Okay.
But you're in purgatory and you do reach loot boxes such as that. But most of the game is duck and cover. So you're going to be shooting some guys that look like they're human. And when you kill them, you collect iron. And I've heard that's important when you get to the boss. I never made it to the boss. I played for almost 2 hours, and I never made it to the first boss because I suck.
Is this a roguelike? Would you call it that?
Maybe. Because
the description on the webpage calls it that, but I don't.
Yeah, I would call it roguelike. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Okay.
So...
Yeah, it says it's right somewhat. Here, hold on, it says, descend into the grim and gritty world of purgatory in this cover-based shooter, which combines the fluidity of twin-stick controls and the tactical cover usage. Dodge behind cover as you try to outgun your enemies in the unknown procedurally generated hunting grounds.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So it is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but that's not what it feels like.
Okay. All right. That's okay. I like when I like when old stuff gets made to be, or old ideas get made new again. That's fine.
Right. So, you go room to room in purgatory, and you do use a little bit of this dual shick. Get a really close shave for that old west look. That's not how that works at all.
No.
But yeah, so this dual stick shooter, you end up going against, like I said, a bunch of just randos who are, when you kill them, you collect iron. And you can use later on when you go against the boss. Also, there's sins that creep in the dark. And you'll notice where I'm getting to right now. There's like a lamp or like a lantern up there in the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
You got to sometimes knock those so that you can reveal the bad guys. If you don't, they'll just start killing you and you can't see them.
Okay.
But you'll collect sins as you go along. I don't know what the sins are for yet. I'm still trying to figure it out.
Are they actual sins? Like, here's where you push down an old lady, or here's where you had sex with your teacher.
You'll see it. Okay. No, I wish. That would be kind of cool.
Wait a minute. What kind of teacher did you have in high school? I didn't have any.
Did you see me just fall into the pit?
Yeah, I did see that. Nice job on
that. Yeah, you see that? You like that? Yeah. You know why? Because it was dark, and I was like, where do I go now?
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot of directions. By the way, I love Ron Perlman, and I love hearing him in this game. However, I got to say this. It is not a nice, tight fit.
Let's see what he says here. Does he talk all the time?
No, he talks mostly when you first arrive, and he'll tell you a little bit of story, and it's kind of, some of it's a little bit randomly generated.
Here he is.
Here he is.
He says, "Oh, come on, run."
My side.
Let me try it again.
Okay. For once, fate seemed to be on my side.
Is that him?
Yeah, that's him.
Okay.
That's me doing my best Ron Perlman.
I was going to say that's slightly different right. than what I expect from Ron Perlman, though.
It's a little bit Ron Perlman light, and you could definitely feel like it sounded like he recorded, like, you know, maybe at his house. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We're all in a pandemic. He probably recorded at his house, and there's nothing wrong with it, and it's good. I just don't know if it's necessary. It certainly feels better because you're like, oh yeah, this feels, you know, gritty, and I feel like my little story is being narrated as I go along, and but it doesn't really, I don't learn much about myself or the story, and it doesn't really usually apply to the current situation that I'm doing. It's usually just pontificating about death,
yeah,
and that kind of stuff. So sure. It's interesting. I like it. I like this game. However, I feel like it's not quite ready. It just came out. But there was a major glitch I hit just from my 2-hour game, you know, demo of this game.
Yeah.
You can take cover, but the cover is destructible, so it's not permanent. So those other guys, those iron guys, will start shooting your cover, and eventually the cover will explode, which is fine because the cover will respawn. However,
yeah,
somehow or another, I was standing over top of one of these coffins that was respawning, and I glitched out.
Oh,
and
no.
I disappeared, and the only thing that was there was my shadow.
Just and you I was and your like, shadow. Okay.
Okay, my shadow. So I start walking around. I'm like, well, maybe once I get to the next room, you know, it'll kind of reset. Didn't happen. And so all the characters disappeared, even the bad guys. So I was like, I went to a room, and I was like, oh, an empty room. Here's my shadow. And then suddenly I start dying. And I'm like, what's going on? I can't shoot. I'm shooting bullets, and there's no sound happening, but I can see my revolver. If you look on the left-hand side of the bottom of the screen,
yeah.
There's like it'll show you where your revolver is, because when you shoot, usually it's limited ammunition,
mm-hmm.
as you would expect from the old. Well, there's the bad guy. I died. big surprise, right? Anyway, I disappeared. So there was like little glitches like that. That just doesn't seem quite perfect yet. Yeah. Seems a little early. Didn't seem like there was a lot of deep content. I feel like I got stuck a lot. Mm. However, with all that said, I really enjoyed my time with it, and I really love the art style, and I really love Ron Perlman in this, and
he's impossible not to like. It's impossible not to like the man. He's just,
you know, this happens so often with Western type games. I think me and you both like Western type games.
Oh yeah.
And there's so many small indie Western games that come close, but they never quite cross the finish line.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
I understand that. Yeah, I think I get that.
Yeah.
I've heard nothing but raves about this. So if I need to give it a shot. And you're saying it's on PC Game Pass, so I have no excuse. I'm just going to get it and try it. Because it seems like my jam. Like, I really like this art style. I really like
it. It's a very small download. I mean, I think it was like 800 megabytes or something. I mean, it was super small.
Who did the art on this?
I don't know. I love the art.
It's really cool.
I love what they were trying to do.
Yeah. It's cool looking.
It is way cool. I think you at least need to play it to just get the experience.
All right.
And I don't know if it's going anywhere. And that makes me sad. This was a developer Upstream Arcade and published by Raw Fury. Came out on 6/18/2020. It takes about 11 to 20 hours to complete the campaign. And currently, if you want to purchase it wholesale, just want to buy the whole thing, just keep it for yourself, it's about $19.99 or $20.
Yeah, $20 bucks on Steam, $20 on Microsoft Store if you don't have Game Pass. Looks like pretty much that's the price.
11 to 20 hours in this world, that's not bad for $20. I mean,
West not bad. Of Dead Switch. Is it on the Switch?
Now, Sidian in the chat room has played a little longer than me. Like I said, I played a couple of hours, but Sidian is saying that a lot more story once you clear the chapters.
Oh, okay. West of Dead is also on the Switch. We should mention that. You can get it there. Ooh. Although I'm sure it's more money because it always is. Right? Why is West for Dead? Why are some games more on the Switch? I don't understand why the premium. And sometimes not. That's sometimes they're cheaper there even. I'm just saying, most of the time though, if you're like, oh, $15 on Steam, sweet. Or $12 over here. You go over there, it's like $29. What?
$29? What are you, crazy?
I know, I don't like it.
By the way, I check every week when we play these games. I don't know if how many times we mentioned, but we've been playing West of Dead was the game that it was just talking about. I always check how long to beat. If you're not checking there to see how long it's probably going to take you to play a game, it's a good assessment to figure out if at least help you in the decision-making process of, is a game worth $20?
Okay.
You know, 11 to 20 hours, that's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
In my opinion.
It's pretty good.
In my opinion.
Yeah. I'm going to play this because it looks like it might be my jam, and I will think about the things you've said, and I will contrast and compare.
I will consider them.
I will consider what you have spoken this day. Okay.
By the way, also,
yeah,
cool name.
It is a pretty cool name. You're not wrong about the name. That's pretty cool. Let me tell you about another cool name. A game I'm playing might be. And I've had a lot of games this year that have been in this position, but it's in contention for best indie game of the year. Yeah. And I'm not even sure.
It's only July.
I don't even know how indie it is because because Focus Home Entertainment makes a lot of games, right? Or they publish a lot of games.
This is not a small publisher anymore,
but they're primarily a PC publisher with some console stuff, but mostly I still think this falls into the category of a smaller game. It's not some big AAA title you're going to get on everything.
Yeah. Blackbird Interactive is the developer. See, I think that just because you get published by a big publisher right now, that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
No, not necessarily. I mean, you can.
Yeah.
The ones that self-publish have just as good a chance to do anything they want to do. But let me tell you about this game. It is called, and it's a cool name, Hard Space : Brick. Shit. I screwed it up.
You almost
hard space. Yes, Shipbreaker. Hard Space Shipbreaker. S-H-I-P breaker.
I must emphasis, yeah. Ship.
Yeah, I've been emphasizing the wrong thing. But this is an interesting kind of high concept game that is all about you being what's called a shipbreaker in this world.
And, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I've seen this.
Have you seen this? Where have you seen this?
Yes. I've seen it online.
Oh, okay.
Like on the good store.
I was afraid you were going to say I talked about it last week, but I didn't.
No, you didn't.
Last week I talked about Mr. Driller and that other weird thing. But anyway, you work for a company called the Lynx Corporation, and they are paying you to take apart out of commission spacecraft and then salvage the bits you need to salvage. So like, let's say on the spacecraft, there's like some antenna arrays or whatever. Those are worth money. So you salvage those, and you do that by unwelding them with like a tether. You go over there and like tether this thing off with your little pole tether thing. Sometimes you need to break to actually like use this big welder machine to actually break lines and create, you know, a break so you can pull something apart or whatever.
Because but why part of are you this, taking these ships apart, Scott?
So you can salvage it and make tons of money. That's the whole point.
Oh.
So because they're out of commission, they're not going to be flown anymore. So when you get into the cockpit of a ship, for example, those chairs, they're valuable.
Right.
So you take those bucket seats out and you toss them into the grabber catcher thing, and it says, boom, credits added to account. Well done. Whatever.
Blum, blum, blum.
You can also tear the thing apart for raw materials. So like if the outside is made of some really thick titanium or something, by salvaging that titanium, and it takes different tools to get at it, you can throw that into the processor, and it will, again, add credits to your account. You're trying to pay down a huge debt that you have.
Are you on the up and up, Scott? Are you on true salvage mission, or are you out here?
Oh no, total salvage. All you can do. You can't get into a ship and fly off somewhere. You're in this, you're in this place where you're above the Earth. Okay, the idea is that in the future, the Earth is just kind of a shithole, and anything that was
so everything improves.
Good. Well, it's gone real bad. Like resources wise, we've kind of stripped everything out of there, and it's just not been great. And so one of the few jobs left is you take a job with these companies and you fly up above the planet and you work in this little space array thing where ships are docked and your job is to break them apart and sell their guts. And it sounds dumb.
It sounds freaking amazing. I'm just laughing because whoever's playing keeps throwing up the thumbs up on this guy. How many times did you do the thumbs up?
I don't know why he's doing that. He needs to stop that.
I love it.
He's really
annoying.
This
is called Hard Space Shipbreaker.
Shipbreaker. Everyone just calls it Shipbreaker. But down there, you've got like a processing thing, and you got an incinerator. And some things go in the incinerator. Some things go in the processor. Some go below you in that green grid below you, which is you capture the real valuable stuff that goes back to the company. Oh. So you're just using gravity to like chuck this stuff into these holes. you're floating around. Like I failed. Boy, this is a bad video. Are you sure you didn't play this? Yeah. Just kidding.
I didn't play this. It looks like I would play it, but no. So
he keeps failing his gun. He's failing his order. He's an idiot. All right. Anyway, you have a grab gun thing that's like a tether gun.
Right.
And it can pull some things apart, but it's not strong enough to pull.
This reminds me of Gary's mod.
Well, it shouldn't. Oh, well, okay. Well, it can. Well,
I mean, for the mechanics of it.
It can if you want to just count like weird physics and stuff like that. But it's using like real space physics to do everything. You're free floating. You have to kind of rotate and go slow. And if you go too fast, you can smack your head on the side of a thing. If you cut, like you take your little laser cutter inside the ship and you cut open a fuel line, you're probably going to explode part of the ship and you may get killed. You got to like be not stupid. It's a very cool game. I found myself so absorbed in it that I can't quit. I just got to go to the next day because you do it in shifts. So you do the first shift, second shift, whatever. And every time I'm like, all right, well, after this shift, I'll go to bed. Nope. Got to do another shift.
Nope. It never happened.
I don't know whoever's playing this is a ding dong. He's not really doing what he's supposed to be doing. So we're not going to look at him anymore.
I almost got that. I swear I almost had this game. Did you get this code?
No. This is the one I bought. I paid for this.
When'd you buy?
Here's what put me over the put me over the top on it and why it was worth the $24. And it still is, by the way. It's 100% worth that. This is what got me. It's all of the stuff I've just explained to you. And weirdly, it's like reverse Tetris in a weird way. It's like I'm just taking things apart and figuring out how they come apart. Okay, cool. Now that can float over here. Can I push that with enough gravity into the incinerator? Or am I going to have better tools to do it later? So I'll upgrade those tools. You got to kind of watch your oxygen. You got to watch your fuel levels. There's also...
A little survival component.
A little bit. Nothing major.
Not much.
There's a place you can turn right around and go to this console and buy more stuff if you can't find it on the ship. But sometimes the ship has it. So if you've gotten hurt inside the ship in one of the hulls or something, there'll be strapped to the wall a med kit. So you just take the med kit and it gives you some life back. There's oxygen tanks in there and things like that. So you can do that. Lots of little hidden things too. But the ships get bigger and more complex the further you get into the game. You get better and cooler tools the further you get. You can lift bigger things off of themselves, break stuff easier, that sort of stuff.
So you get some power gloves like in Zelda?
Kinda-ish, sorta. You can also use your gloves, by the way, as an actual like dampening thing. So if you're flying across the let's say something exploded, like the ship lost its what's that word when you lose your atmosphere? Anyway, decompression.
Explosive decompression.
Exactly. You have an explosive decompression, and when that happens, you may get pushed somewhere kind of hard, and it's got this mechanic where you can like put your hands out and sort of slow your crash into other objects. You can also, your gloves are magnetic, so if you're touching metal surfaces, it'll help you sort of stay there, not get blown away. Just all kinds of cool mechanics like that. This guy's actually doing something else. Maybe I'll show it. Oh, right now he's just slicing the
this
shit
guy
out of
this
ship.
Being an idiot for a minute. Let's see if we can look at, let's flip over to the guy.
I take it back. He's being an idiot again. So he's just chopping it into pieces. That's not a good way to get your money.
That's not how you get your money.
Like every one of those little bits could have been a whole quarter panel. Oh, he just blew up the tank. So now the tank, he's not gonna be able to get his tank, and the tank is worth tons of money. So if you can save the tank by itself, pull it out of there and safely get it into the grid below, you'll get so much money for that. And he's just chopping this ship to bits. Let's see. Look at that. Look what he's doing. Oh, geez. Okay. That's the worst. He's just destroying it because he's impatient.
He's in outer space by himself from what you told me. I mean, how would you tear apart a ship?
I'll tell you how I do it. Now look at him quitting because he's an a-hole.
Would you be like really efficient at tearing down a ship? If you're really in space,
I have been
just be farting around.
No, I'd be super efficient because this is how you make your money. And the whole story is that you got a kid back home in Kansas or whatever hole you're from. And she's like, there's even a little narration at the beginning where she does some rhyme about her dad going off to break ships and hope he comes home safe. Kind of a Lord's Prayer sort of thing. And then, please bless my dad as he goes to space.
Oh, no.
That while he's there, he won't die. Then he'll come back and bring the thing so we can all have a fly or whatever it is. It rhymes and it's all dumb. But the point is, it's like, this is the way things are. This is how you're going to make money. It's a crap job, but you're going to take it. Here's what sold me, though. Okay, so everything I've told you is already my jam, totally into it, chip breakers for me. However, then I listened to the soundtrack. It's amazing. It's all like space trucker, Firefly shit. You know what I mean? Like it's like low rent. Like I love outer space that is a bunch of hillbillies. I love it.
Oh yeah,
I freaking love it. So
space hillbillies. Now don't tell Ibbot that, but me and you, we're on the same. Page.
We're totally on the same page. Space trucker. You know, freaking Jim Raynor of Starcraft, like the Terrans, like that stuff. I love when those things, when space is just kind of grimy and dirty and everything's covered in oil and you're all like, y'all that. Your warp drive's got a problem with it. Y'all may need to do it. And like that kind of stuff, man, totally in. So that it doesn't go too overboard with it either. It's not like ridiculous, but
we're a bunch of space truckers in space.
Like the guy who calls you from the company is like, all right, it's your first day. You feeling good out there with this here thing? You know, like he's got that accent.
So you like that Bill Paxton kind of
a little bit
space.
Yeah.
Kind of
it's
guy.
A little bit like that. And I like SpaceX, the chat room says stoic.
And just, you can find all the SpaceX you want in hard space ship breaker.
Well, you're the only one. You never see any other people, but yeah.
It's just
you. Yeah. You're just you in these ships, man. It's focused. This game tells you, you know what to do and you do it. And then the puzzle is, well, what do I do first so I don't blow the ship apart and expose the batteries I need to salvage? Because if I do that, if I do this wrong and decompression blows those batteries up, then I'm going to get half the money. Or I may die.
You get penalized for doing a poor job.
Yeah, you got to do good. Yeah, you got to do good. That guy that was in that video is just like being my son when he was five. Like, why were you? What are you even doing in this game? It makes me mad. I want his version of the game on your hard drive so that you'll play it properly. But anyway, I really like it so far. Super into it. Can't say enough about it. So far, it's neat. It really is just totally my jam. And they're really great about this. Is one of those developers, and I always pay attention to this. Really talkative with their community. It is in early access, it's pretty far along. And they spend a lot of time saying, all right, we've heard you guys ask for this and this and this. We've considered this and this. Hey, check it out. We've added this thing you've all been asking for. We've been doing this thing and we agree with you. Or here's why we're not going to do that, because we think this is the reason it needs to be. Like very communicative. They've got very active forums. People are really into it. Currently enjoying a very high rating on Steam and deservedly so. It's very good. It's very cool. I'm very addicted to it. I want to play right now. Just talking about it.
Why am I even doing a podcast? Why Blackbird Interactive is making this great game called Heart Space Shipbreaker. And I'm sitting here talking to Brian when I have $25 I could spend right now.
That's right. Spend it. $24.99. Their exact description is equipped with a cutting edge salvage tech, carve and slice spaceships to recover valuable materials, upgrade your gear to take on more lucrative contracts, and pay your billion credits debt to Lynx Corporation. That's basically
a billion credits.
And if it sounds like work, I mean, yeah, it is, but it's really fun work. It's fun.
It's fun work.
Yeah. And you feel rewarded. And when you're done for the day and you see what you did, it's like, oh, look at all that extra money I got. I'm going out there again. I'm getting another ship. Let's tear this thing up. It's good. Anyway, lots of minutia too. Like you can, on the outside of the ship, you're like, oh, this is a boring outside of the ship. Let me see what it's like inside. You finally get inside and you're like, oh my gosh, look at all these computers and consoles and chairs and stuff I can salvage. You start salvaging everything and making crap loads of money.
Can you salvage the toilets?
I haven't done a toilet yet, but I assume when I get to the big freighters that there'll be toilets.
Right.
I'm sure.
I'm sorry. Turlet. We're in a space trucker motif. Yeah, so turlet.
Turlet. And you got to have like, you know.
Did you ever see Space Truckers? Old Hopper. Wasn't Hopper in that?
Is that a cartoon?
Dennis Hopper.
Oh, Dennis Hopper?
No, it was a movie.
Space Truckers movie. I don't know what this is.
Oh, it's good. You'll have to
tune
in.
Look at that. Space Truckers, 1996. Why aren't we seeing this? 97. Hold on.
I keep an eye out for it for a film sack.
8%.
What's that?
Rotten Tomatoes has it at 8%. Holy schmuck.
It is horrible, but it is great at it.
Okay. Dennis Hopper, Stephen Dorff.
Yep.
Debbie Mazur, Charles Dance, George Wendt. Really?
Yeah. George. I forgot George Wendt was in it. Yes.
Shane Rimmer. And all the reviews are like, this is unquestionably terrible, but it's also kind of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
All right, we need to see this. Why aren't we film sacking this? What's wrong with us?
I don't know, but you talking about that game is just all kinds of got my appetite wet for some space truckers.
All right, I'm in. All right, there's that. Hey, Brian, tell me about Urban Flow, which has nothing to do with your, you're not having your period. This is a video game.
Right, no, this is Urban Flow. So it's so I picked this up on the Switch when it was on sale for like about, I think I picked it up for $12. I think it's still on sale on the Switch. It is a strategy sim where you are in control of a city's red light system. And you can play by yourself. Foolishly. Wait,
the red light district. Oh, no, system. You mean the traffic lights. No,
not red light district. The red light, green light,
go. Gotcha. Traffic
lights. Right, go dog.
Yeah.
Traffic, there you go. Yeah, traffic light. Okay. Red, yeah. And so it's a real cutesy game. This should be me playing unless you pick something else.
I picked something else because your link wouldn't work. I couldn't get it to go.
Oh, you couldn't get to OneDrive? The shared link that I gave you? Yeah. Fine, whatever. Okay, yeah. So
keep going.
I had to pull it from YouTube. We'll talk about that in a minute. I've got my soapbox ready.
All right. Because there's other... But this is also on YouTube. It's somebody else playing it, and they apparently didn't get pulled. So what? Freaking
well,
YouTube.
Well, I didn't get pulled either, but we'll talk about that after we talk about the game. Yeah, and we'll talk about how I think about that, what I think about that. All right, so it came out on 626, a very recent game. Very recent. This came out. Up to 1 million hours of gameplay, I think. No, I don't. That's not true. It's not on how long to beat, but I swear the amount of time I played, I only made it to like the first five chapters. This is one of those, you know, chapter based. It's really like level based. You each new level has its own set of problems to overcome. And when it first starts out, you only have four red lights to control, and they're controlled on the Switch. By the way, this is a Switch exclusive.
Yeah.
You have usually it's like the A, B, you know, those buttons, and you just choose which light, and you just toggle them on and off.
Okay.
And you have to direct the flow of traffic. You don't want, if you're at an intersection, you want the traffic flow going across, and you want to stop the traffic flow and let the other way go. That's the simplest form of the game, but then it gets a lot more complex when you start getting into
it looks like a it looks like a mobile game. Am I wrong?
Actually, I believe it's also marketed for, I believe that's what they're going for, is to go for a mobile game too. However, this game does not shine as a single player, so I don't think it would do well as a mobile. It shines at the point that you bring other people in, because the, like I said, the first couple of chapters, not very hard. Don't have to concentrate too much. But once you get to a little later on, you have to control up to like 8 and 9 lights, and traffic is coming from every direction, and you have to make sure they cross the right paths. And these cars will give you very, very, very light indications of where they're going, literally with their lights, because their blinkers will be on. So you have like maybe 30 cars on the screen at once, and you got to look and see when you open a light that they're not going to take a right into a train or into something else. So you have to think about it. And there's a couple of things as you go along. There's some levels will give you the option to have a couple of slowdowns where you can kind of take a look to see what's going to happen or what's happening. Okay. But it gets really complicated. This is a really fun couch co-op. It's multiplayer local. I think up to, I guess, 8 players? No, 4 players.
Four,
up to 4 players.
You can, I could see this happening on mobile in multiplayer, just Wi-Fi or Bluetooth with multiple phones.
Right. Oh, it's definitely possible. I just think it would get a lot more complicated at a certain point, because you got to be pretty quick on the draw with this thing.
Rangers has a really good point in the chat. The game is totally unrealistic. Cars actually using their blinkers in traffic. That's a good point. A lot of people really suck at their blinkers, so I get it.
So, yeah. In addition to the just people being stupid, you also have to consider city like services, like ambulances and police cars. You gotta make sure that they can go through, because they will get impatient if you have a red light on for too long. The light will automatically change on its own.
Oh,
so
I thought maybe they'd just go around you and cause all kinds of mayhem or whatever.
No, and usually the goal is you have to have so many cars pass through the screen without an accident to be able to accomplish the star rating, which is 1, 2, and 3. No stars means you haven't won at all. You can't progress any further in the game. 1, you can continue to progress, and of course the 2 and 3 is for trying to go back and perfect what you're doing. But I really enjoy this game. It's a real good, just, you know, kick back and
I have to admit it. Actually, I saw it and went, oh, okay, I could this would be interesting. I could play this. And then I forgot about it.
And it's a really fun, and it has really chill music to it. Mm-hmm. So you got this really, you know, you got this one area where it's like this really chill music and you feel good about things. And you feel like there's a little bit of flow going on, that urban flow. And then other times you feel like you're just absolutely overwhelmed because there's just so much going on. And you think you know which button you're clicking on,
yeah,
and you're not clicking on the right button. And it's just, and then you let the traffic go through and you're like, oh no, that moron's going to turn right in front of that train and then he's going to blow up. And so it's very, but let's get back to the music in my soapbox. Here we go. I was like, give me a soapbox here, baby.
Wait, is there music in this game you're saying? Oh, no, you're talking about the YouTube
thing. Don't play it. Oh, my God. Don't play the music.
Only this long. Only a little bit. Hold on.
No.
Oh, this person turned the music off. That's how they got away
good.
With it.
Good. And, okay, so that's probably how they did it. Now, yeah. I got a copyright claim. That's not the same thing as a strike.
Right.
I was not asked to take anything down. However, I was demonetized for the video, which is inconsequential because I do not have any monetization on YouTube. Because despite the fact that I have over 2 million views on many videos that I have, doesn't matter. YouTube took all that away a couple of years ago. So I kind of stopped posting on YouTube. Okay, so I post these usually just so that you can easily access them, Scott, so that we can play them during the show.
Yeah, I get it.
And I usually keep a pretty good, you know, eye on what I'm putting to make sure that I don't get a copyright claim because it annoys me. And what I do is when I get a copyright claim, I just delete it. Because the reason why is because when somebody claims copyright, they get 100% of the ad revenue, which I get zero. I'm getting zero anyway.
Right.
But it does annoy me that for, you know, 15 seconds of a 30-minute video, an hour video, that someone can claim entire copyright over everything that I've done and collect complete ad revenue. That annoys me.
No, that, I'm not having it. On TMS, every time Brian would play, this is why we had to stop putting music on the YouTube versions because
right.
YouTube would claim copyright, even though we had the rights, we pay for the rights to play the songs.
Right.
But they don't have a way to do that or to know that, mm-hmm. and the robots in between don't give a shit. So
exactly.
that's why my YouTube account got banned for a month or whatever it was. It was
yeah,
awful.
So if I get a copyright claim, you guaranteed I'm knocking that out. And the reason why I'm a little bit upset, I'm kind of upset I probably would have to put it at the feet of the publisher or whoever funded securing the rights for this music. You can't tell me a game that's being published in 2020 can have any idea that what they're putting out there won't be streamed by streamers.
Oh, guaranteed.
Like yeah. me and you.
There's
no way. Now, yeah. A couple of years ago, I would have said, well, maybe they didn't really put that in the plan when they were making the development of this game. No, this game was developed in a time where that is all behind us.
Yep.
And so the game should do one of two things. The game should give me an option to quickly turn off the music. We should also probably give me a warning because some of the games are pretty good about this. They'll say, hey, streamer, we just secured the rights for the game music in the game. We can't let you stream that anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be more responsible because it's a big hassle to me to review games and then have to sit there and worry about every video I put out there that I'm breaking some kind of copyright or that somebody's going to demonetize me entirely and take the full share pie. By the way, the company who is doing this on behalf of the musical artist.
Yeah.
And they're collecting 100% of the pie and then they're deciding what the artist deserves.
Yeah, so, no. And there's the other thing. It's those guys aren't always legit and actually representing the artist. A lot of times that
exactly.
is a fake third party. And if you do when you say this isn't true or whatever, what's that called? You dispute
it. Yeah, when you dispute it.
Yeah, when you dispute it, 99.9% of the time, they just go, oh, yeah, we don't want it, and they disappear, and you're fine. But
right.
when you dispute, you lock yourself into a legal mm-hmm. chokehold that says
yep,
if for any reason they decide to take any of this to court, you're hosed and YouTube can also charge you a bunch of money. Like it sucks. It's a bad deal. It favors idiots and cheaters is what it does.
It really does. And look, I don't mind if you say that you didn't license that music to that company for that purpose and you don't want that to happen. I'm fine. I will remove it. But this using these third party services to come strong arm me and then take the entire cut. No, forget that crap.
Check this out. This is why I want. This is why I got a demonetization on a an old Fallout playthrough I did. This song came up. I'm only gonna play it for a second. so I don't get in trouble, hopefully.
Right.
Do you know this song? Have you heard this before?
Yeah, everybody knows that song, okay, right?
I'm going to skip ahead a little. Desire. This thing was made in the 20s. I was about to say,
that song is over 100 years old, Scott, which is fine. I mean, I get it. But
that song is out of copyright. Its use in Fallout is freshly copyrighted, but not
right.
It's annoying.
Particular version, right?
It's really annoying. Fair use is fair use, man.
Yeah, I don't want to get too far into that discussion. I just want everybody to know that I don't want, you know, if any developers of video games or anything who's, you know, I know we're not huge here or nothing, or that we're hugely important, but it is very annoying. I'll tell you, from somebody who does Let's Plays and reviews of games, I don't like it. And it left a dirty taste in my mouth with Urban Flow, because I'm looking at this company going, and I know it was done through Switch, and is Valtoro Games is the publisher. And I'm like, it left a dirty taste in my mouth, because I'm like, somebody didn't secure the rights, or someone is allowing this third party company to go in and strong arm. I don't like that.
Urban Flow.
But the game itself, I love the game. Yeah. Play it. Just don't let's play it.
Yeah, don't let's play
unless you turn the music off.
There you go. I want to make a quick mention about, I'm playing Pirate Outlaws again on my iPad. Ooh. and PC. I just wanted to throw it out there that that's a great deck builder. And it started out on mobile, so it looks very mobile-y on PC, but it plays great. I don't think it's free on. No, it's not free on PC. It costs something.
No.
But it's,
it costs money.
It costs very little on mobile. Android and iOS have it, and it's great. Just a great little pirate-based kind of Slay the Spire game. And I've talked about it on the show before, so I don't get too deep into it. And you also played Overload, which is a game I talked about forever ago, like a year ago.
You did. You played it like a year ago, and you talked highly about it, and I had totally forgotten about it until... did I get a code for this? No, it was part of the Humble Bundle from June monthly.
Nice.
And I took a peek, because I liked Descent back in the day, and I loaded it up, and man, is that a good game. Mm-hmm. It's a good feeling game. Mm-hmm. It just feels right.
I like it. It's like Descent, but moderned up and... Very good. It's a very good game. Actually, you know what? The movement in that game is a lot like Shipbreaker, except no one's shooting at you in Shipbreaker. But it's got that same 360-degree Euclidean sort of physics kind of thing going on that takes a little bit to get used to. It's a lot like that. So,
did you try the VR at all?
No.
In Overload?
I did not. No.
I haven't either. I'm a little.
Do you know why? Because we had the HTC Vive. That thing remains the biggest pain in the ass to set up there ever was. So F that. Right. I'm not doing that anymore. My Quest, however, I could just do the one link cable and be good, but I haven't tried it. I should.
Right.
I'll give it a shot.
It's, like I said, I'm afraid, because just playing it in regular, I was like, man, the way this thing moves, mm-hmm. it's probably going to make me harf. I had the same problem anytime I do VR of Minecraft.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little bit rough.
Well, this game, some games are better at it than others. Having a roll cage or, you know, some sort of structure that you're inside of, that helps a lot.
That does help. And yeah, so, you can toggle that on and off, and I actually did.
You should toggle that on if you're doing VR, for sure. Yeah, someone in the chat says the Descent devs worked on it. Yeah, they did. This is like actual Descent team.
Yeah, they did.
People. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Brian. Hey, you guys, time to talk about Raycon. Oh, yeah, baby. I really like Raycon. I'm not just saying that. Had a pair in my ears this morning while I was jogging, and I really liked it. Whether you're working from home because of, I don't know, COVID-19, or you're working on your fitness, or whatever you're trying to do, listening to whatever you want to listen to, you don't necessarily want to hear the neighbor's lawnmower drowning out what you're hearing, right? Nobody wants that. Maybe your kids are loud, and you're like, you know what? I just need to focus on the music that's in my head. Well, I'll tell you what. Everybody needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. That I can tell you. And here's the thing. Before you go dropping hundreds of bucks on a pair, check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon, R-A-Y-C-O-N. We've teamed up with them, and they're offering 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/boop. And I think they're amazing. They're so small. They hide away in my ears, and I don't have to worry about them. I don't have stem sticking out. I don't have any of that stuff. It's just in there. They're noise canceling, so I don't hear things going on around me. So be careful with that, by the way, while you're jogging. But yeah, as long as you're aware of your surroundings, you should be okay. But the sound is overwhelmingly good. And I'm not just saying that. I really feel that way about these. They've been great. Very comfortable. And that's a big part of it as well. Unlike some of the other wireless options out there, they're both stylish and discreet. And celebrities like Snoop Dogg, Cardi B, Melissa Etheridge, Brandy, J.R. Smith, you know these people? Well, they're obsessed with Raycons, and maybe you will be too. They start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and they sound just as amazing as other top audio brands you know. Their newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are their best ones yet, with 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and more compact design that give you a nice noise-isolating fit. Work great with my iPhone, work great with my Android tablet, work great every time I've used them. Zero problems. Get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/BOOP. That's buyraycon.com/boop for 15% off of Raycon wireless earbuds. That's buyraycon.com/BOOP.
It's me, Mario.
Time to play Guess My Game. We play a sound clip from a thing, a game, a video game, sometimes old, sometimes new, doesn't matter, but we try to guess what the game is with our vast brains capable of such
vast
knowledge.
Vast brains, look at them.
That's right. I always start. Here it is. Let's see if you can figure it out. Give this a listen. It's got some of the worst voice synthesizer stuff in it in the history of voice and video games, okay? So that's how old this is. Here you go. Okay, there's
what
more.
What is this?
It is. Even
this sounds
hearing
like
this
West
again,
of some kind of Atari game.
It makes you want to die. It's so annoying and loud. But do you have any guesses on what that is?
No, I don't. It's so annoying. I would have walked away instantly.
Someone's close in the chat. You know what? I don't think that's, maybe that's not what you're typing, the Wraith, but it's Gorf. Was that what you were typing?
Oh, Gorf. Is that Gorf?
Yeah, that's Gorf. Remember Gorf?
I loved Gorf. I don't remember it being so annoying.
Gorf was so annoying to listen to, but
I loved Gorf.
Gorf had this like amazing mix of,
yes,
here's Space Invaders, here's Galaga, here's Galaxian, here's all these, yeah, games you're familiar with, but we're going to mush them all up into the weirdest combo. Space Invaders.
Here's a little bit of Pong. Here, yeah, you go. Have fun.
Yeah. It's very weird. I'm going to see if I can show the chat. Let's see.
I forgot all
not
about
golf.
Gorf.
I want Gorf.
Wow. I do not remember it being that annoying. I love Gorf.
I remember we had this in the house because it was back when my dad had arcades and stuff. And my mom wouldn't
let us. It was just as visually busy as it was.
She wouldn't let us play it. She was just like, you can't play that in this house, she'd say. My mom would. Because it was so freaking annoying. Let me go back a bit and get some of the, see, this is what the first screen looked like with all these Space Invaders.
I love that game.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So basically you're the Galaxian ship and you're shooting Space Invaders. It sounds like this.
Now, yeah, seeing the visual and hearing it,
yeah,
it all mixes in together now.
It's pretty ugly and weird and great. I just really got a kick out of Gorf in the day. I always thought it was like some hacked thing because mixing all these characters and, you know.
It felt like something that was, yeah, I'm with you. It felt like someone had borrowed a bunch of IPs.
Well, it's because, you know, like Taito had Space Invaders. Namco had Galaxian Galaga. And they were mixing it all. Like, what deal did they have? What kind of a deal did they have going?
What kind of a deal?
Yeah, what kind of a deal? Let's see what this next
one is. All those little things coming down and going.
It also had that thing, if you fired your gun too fast,
it wouldn't extend the bullet. Wouldn't go to the gun.
Yeah, and that sucked.
Yeah, it did. You couldn't spam fire. It sucked.
My game sucked. But it was great at the
loved
same time.
It. Loved it.
All right, Brian, I'm playing yours now, and let's see if I can figure it out. I'll try to do it sight unseen.
You have no chance in Hades of guessing what this game is.
I'll do my best.
Enemy sighted.
This sounds Star Warsy.
Enemy.
You'd be wrong.
Enemy sighted.
Attack the base. Attack the AFK.
AFK. The away from keyboard.
3 minutes left. This is obscure of a game that I've brought up one here yet.
Is it Commandos?
No, but this game is interesting. You should say that because it is based on a property that an actor was related to that is not Commandos.
So
but
a movie comes. Based on a movie then.
Yeah, this game is abandonware, by the way. People, they just finally said, forget it. We don't even want this. Abandon it.
I don't know, dude. I really don't know.
I know.
Is it Demolition Man?
Only reason why I looked it up is because we were talking. We did Film Sack this past week. Terminator 3, War of the Machines, a Windows-based game that is a piece of trash that everybody hated.
Yeah.
Except for one person.
It's you. Did you like it?
No, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. But I did hear some people like, oh, I love this game. And it's like, everybody was like looking over. I'm like, dude.
Is this the, really? This was the gun one. So it's a light gun one, right?
Right, right.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. This was not the light gun one. No, you're thinking about the arcade one. No, this is actually a Windows game.
Okay.
It was a first person shooter kind of thing.
Okay. I think I found some screen here. Oh my gosh, dude. This likeness of Arnold is...
Yeah.
I don't like it. It gives me the willies.
This is like that. This is like you would find this on like a CD of shovelware.
This isn't a fighting game, is it?
No, wait. I don't think that's the right one. No, you're looking for Terminator 3, War of the Machines. I think you just looked up Terminator 3. This is a fight game. I think it was the arcade.
Yeah, but I didn't know this even existed. Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines gameplay walkthrough. Like, what is this even? PlayStation game? Weird.
That is weird. I love it.
Oh my gosh. We've learned so much about Terminator 3 lately. Like that, those deleted scenes of Arnold, how Arnold got his accent is so bad.
It is hilarious the way I love it.
We're going to play that.
My life is better for it.
We're playing that on FilmSack this week. I'm telling you. All right. Well, good one. Good obscure one. Well done. I like when they're obscure, Brian. Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, yes.
All right, quick email from a listener. This comes to us from, I lost it. Hold on, I got to scroll down. There you go.
I have totally lost it.
This is from Steve. Steve says this. Hey, guys, I was wondering if you could share your thoughts on early access games. I've been tempted to buy into these a couple of times on Steam, but I've always been hesitant because part of me always feels like I'd be getting suckered into paying a developer money to be a beta tester for their game. And it seems like I'm being a beta tester for the money that should go in another direction. I know that a lot of people have no problem with this at all and see this as an opportunity to enjoy trying out a game before it's fully released, as well as possibly provide feedback on development. Plus, the price is often reduced. What do you guys think of early access, Steve? Steve, you basically answered your own question in two parts. And he
answered it pretty well himself, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. So the idea is, yes, you're helping them. I mean, in a way, you're helping fund the development of the game. And you also get to give that feedback and you get the benefit of getting to try a thing early if it's something you're interested in. However, let me put it this way. I am pro early access. I really like it as a program, generally speaking. But part of the reason I like it is I'm picky about it and I don't just dive in without doing a little homework. So what I try to do is I try to see how communicative are they? Are they talking to their community all the time? Are they letting people know what they're doing? How often are they posting in the news section on Steam or wherever it's in early access? How often do I get to hear from these people? How active is their community and things like Discord and other stuff? Like, can you see the activity? And if you can, that to me is a good sign because that means they care. They want to see it through to the end. And a lot of times they're developers you've already had good luck with or have already made something you like. And so you can trust them. For those that are new and you've not heard of, it's on them to really show you how committed they are. So a good example of this is that game where you, is it called Cave Diver? Crap. I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah. Is it called Cave Diver?
No, the one where you go, it's a roguelike where you keep going down in a hole and you whack rocks and there's gold in the rocks. And I can't remember the name of the game, but it's a small game made by a small developer I'd never heard of before. But man, those guys were always out in front of that thing, telling me what's going on. When are we doing this? Mm-hmm. Why are we doing this? Detailed patch notes. That stuff matters. So when you start to see that kind of work out of them, you know who you can trust, or at least for the most part you can. And things like Deep Rock Galactic, I got in on that early because of those factors. And sure enough, through that whole process, they just kept updating and letting you know and implementing actual feedback from players and then showing it off, new videos, new this, new that. And you always knew where they were in their roadmap. And so when that thing finally released, I was still stoked to keep playing it. It wasn't like I was sick of it. And I didn't have to pay the extra 10 or 15 bucks or whatever that cost when they launched it, because I was there in the ground level. So I actually think there's a lot of value in it. It helps them. I get to play the thing I want to play. If it's a total mess, it works like the rest of Steam. Just get a refund. If you get in there and it sucks, all of those things I said notwithstanding, you get in, it's like, oh, this is a mess. Can't do this. No problem. Get a refund. There's a simple link there. You hit support, ask for a refund. You'll have it in less than 10, 5 hours or whatever.
Right.
So
now you have to put that refund within, was it 24 or 48 hours?
No, you have to do it within 2 hours of gameplay.
Okay.
There may be some extended period of time that goes by that you can't do it, even if you're under the two. But if you've spent under 2 hours of gameplay and you go do the refund, no problem. I've had it go up to an hour 55 and still got a return. No problem. They don't even.
Right. Oh, but you were sweating it.
I was sweating it at the finish line.
Right. Oh, I got to do it quick. Refund.
So
I'm with you, Scott. I think both of you, between Steve and what you just said, I think y'all both covered it. That's a really strong point that I usually try to look at, is the community activity. If it's not there, then I know there's no point.
Yeah. It really comes down to that. And have there been people who have just like abandoned a game that they worked on and you were excited about seeing push through? Absolutely, that happens, but it's pretty rare. It's kind of like Kickstarters. There is a built-in motivator to not screw up and screw people. Mm-hmm. And people will go out of their way to try to make that happen. In some cases, if it falls apart, it falls apart, but it's rare, and if you do your homework, you'll be okay.
Yeah. And I usually with early access, the things I usually avoid, though, are things that are almost completely dependent upon multiplayer, because it seems like those things have a hard time getting any traction, and sometimes they're more popular in certain regions than others, and then I'll find myself alone in a desolate land of no other players.
No, I'm glad you said that. If it's a multiplayer experience, I would be more careful with those, because you just don't know who's going to, if you can't play because no one's around or because no one's in
right.
it, that's a problem.
I played some amazing games that just couldn't find an audience that was like, I'm like, this is an amazing game, but nobody's playing.
Yeah, that's why I'm more okay with the games that are like, it's a single player game, or it's a strategy game where you play by yourself, or it can have co-op, but it's really for you if you want to play it alone or whatever. I'm a lot more likely to do that. Like when I picked up Old World in on Epic Store, which I'm really glad I did. I freaking love that thing. Again, a small developer that are sort of proven. They did a Kickstarter for their previous game, did well, sold it okay. It was called, it's the one where you just sold a lot of space goods. It was like,
it was the money
side of a Civilization game, and it was ex-Civilization devs, and I forgot the name of the damn game. There's so many games, so it's hard to remember.
So the name wasn't a good one.
Yeah, it was. Oh, no, it was. I just can't remember it. I keep wanting to say Deep Rock Galactic, and obviously that's not it. Just too many games to keep track of. But anyway, they did well with that, and they came through, and people liked it. And so coming out with that game, they have a reputation already. And so for me, it was a no-brainer. I was like, I already know these guys follow through. Plus, looks like what they're doing is cool. And if there's a few bugs early on, that's okay, too. I'm happy to be here for the fun and get it for a little less money. So anyway, your mileage may vary, Steve, but we wish you the best of luck. If you'd like to be like Steve and have your email read on the show, boopshow@gmail.com, or you can just use the website. There's a link right there to send us a contact mail. Be like Steve. frogpants.com/BOOP. That's where you'll find everything else we're doing. You can find us on Twitter as well, Boop Show. I'm at Scott Johnson. Brian's at the Brian Dunaway. Okay. And what else? If you like podcasts and you like really cool, like written, edited, rad content.
I like podcasts.
Oh, good. Then go over to support.currentgeek.com and check out my new project with Tom Merritt. We're doing a version of a relaunch of Current Geek called Current Geek Chronicles. And man, are we doing stuff. It is so cool. But we need your help to get over the finish line. Speaking of, stuff where we need help and we need your early access help to make it happen, basically. So that's the thing. Go check it out if you're interested. Again, that's support.currentgeek.com. Details on the site. All right, Brian, anything else you'd like to add or say before we go?
Yes, Scott, I've got things to say.
Okay, let me have
it. I'll tell you
later. Oh, put it right in my face. No? No.
No, I'll tell you later.
Later? Oh, I'm sad now. All right. Well, I'm not that sad because we had a great show. Everyone's great. You guys have a good one. We'll see you next week for more Boop Show. Until then, take care. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam. I love steam.